Okay, Mr. Louis, where are your parents from?
Well, my parents come from Sanui.
Sanui.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Both your mother and father?
No, my mother never been here. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, my father was here about, I think my father came in about 18 something, I forget. He come in a sailboat.
Mm-hmm.
One time six months.
What was that again?
He come in a sailing boat.
Yes.
Six months.
6 months.
Well, suppose 4 months. 30 more days to get to San Francisco, the storm blown him back. It takes one extra month.
Hmm. And what did he come over here to do?
Come over here farming.
Farming? Yeah. Where?
Oh, in Los Angeles, in Santa Barbara.
Uh-huh.
Now, olden days, you say by 1915, 1920, 1925, those days, farming around Southern California, mostly is Louis family, our family. Few other,
mm-hmm.
few Wong, Chen, something like that. But those state farming is very few, items like cauliflower, onion, carrot, cabbage, potato, that's all.
Why do you think farming was mostly limited to the Louis family?
Well, because all the Louis come from big home is all farmer.
Mm-hmm.
See, because all our family, big daddy, all farmer come in here. And the other, like businessmen, they don't want to come in here. Almost just like what they call refuge, the poor people come in here. Anybody got the money, they don't want to come in there.
Mm-hmm.
Even in my day come, a lot of people, they want to stop me. They say, what are you going there for? Then you can make a living back home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my oldest son, yeah, he don't want to come here before.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if I finish Tsinghua University, I get all kind of opportunity in the country. I don't have to leave the country.
So did your father have friends or relatives here in the States? Was that one reason why he came?
No, most of it used to be people. They want to go out and make a living. They just take a chance.
Did your father come to the States to earn money and then go back to China?
Oh, yeah, they come over here, work hard, make the money. See, when he went home like that. You see, he went home by 1900.
He went back to China.
1900. And he never did come back. Yeah.
So your mother never came?
No, never came. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Later, he sent my bigger brother here. Then later, Green Eye could come to 16 years old. And I come over here. Yeah.
When were you born?
I was born in 1906.
Yeah. And you were born in, back in Sanui?
Yes, Sanui, yeah.
You came to the States when you were 16 years old?
Yeah.
To L.A.?
L.A., yeah. I've never been in another place.
And what did you do when you first came?
First come here, you go to school.
What school?
Elementary school, what they call opportunity class.
Which elementary school?
Ninth Street School.
Yeah,
Ninth Street School, yeah. Then I work in the morning, work, then you go to school, and all couple of years, then they switch me to junior high school, Lafayette. But I stayed there but just for a little over a year. Then I went home, when I come home, I didn't go back to school, working.
What kind of work did
you do? In down the market.
Down
wholesale market. Wholesale Produce.
Where was that?
In Nye Street, Nye and Sanjeevan Street.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's all my life, you're looking over there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Those days, Greenfoot come in 1922. Before the olden days, all Chinese farmer. But Queen that come in 1922 is already a lot of Japanese farmer.
Mm-hmm.
But Japanese farmer and Chinese farmer is a little different. Chinese farmer mostly small farmer. 15, 20 acres, 50, 60 acres the most. But Japanese farmer is bigger. Because Chinese people, they figure they make enough money, they go home.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese call lock yip kui gun. They want to die when he born, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
But Japanese different. Japan is so small country, they cannot to let too many people live there.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come to this United States, they had order from the emperor. You don't get real rich, you can't help the country too much. Don't come back. Stay there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why every boat you see that leave Yokohama come over here, you see Japanese, they cry so much to leave each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the Japanese farmer getting bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Because they stay here for life.
Mm-hmm.
Now just like it used to be.
Did you plan to go back to China? Or did your father write to you and tell you to go back to China to live with him?
Well, everybody, when you get a little money, everybody go home anyway. Make a trip, yeah. Like it used to be Bowen Hill. Bowen Hill, a lot of our cousins is farming over that area. Bowen Hill.
Mm-hmm.
About 1920, about sometime like that. Then the owner, he told our family, he said, Louis, he said, I'm sorry to tell you, he couldn't find my land anymore because I go sell my land to subdivide to building a house. But after all, your family been here in my land so long, I save a couple hundred acres for you guys to buy. $30 an acre. But you know what all the Louis family say? He said, you keep your land, I keep my $30. I take my $30 back home, bought 1 acre good land, I bought a few acres, I can pass my life easy. So nobody want to stay here for life. But Japanese different. They get to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
So their farming is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. 100, 200, 300, 400 acres. So they're farming much bigger. And China is getting smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And less.
Mm-hmm.
Because the younger people come over here, they don't want to go work on the farm anymore. When people first come in here, Chinese people mostly. In our family, most farming, and a lot of other family, a lot of hand laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Few restaurants, not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Not like now all over the state, all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
But hand laundry, Queen come to about 1930, 31, then less and less and less. You know, machinery take over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chinese used to be a lot of vegetable peddler. Olden day before my time, they used a lot of horse wagon.
Mm-hmm.
When Queen I first came in here, it's already a lot of used automobile, like a food truck. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
They drive truck around the town, see, mm-hmm. selling to a lot of people, a lot of rich people. They don't go to the market. They buy from the peddler.
Mm-hmm. When you worked at the markets, what did you do? What kind of work?
Oh, so, you know, selling.
Uh-huh.
Selling to the peddler, selling to the small market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those days only, first only 110 store.
Mm-hmm.
Those days only tin store owner Piggy Wiggly. Then Ralph, Save Way coming up. Mm-hmm. Save Way buying Piggy Wiggly out and getting bigger and bigger. And Ralph family getting bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Later then come Ron's Market. Those mm-hmm. are the other, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you first started working at the markets, what was the pay?
Well, I
do
get
remember roughly, you know, how much a week or how much a month did you make?
Well, what I make is a little exceptional, more than anybody else. Those days, working in the market, you figure you make about $50, $60 a month.
This is around
1922, yeah. Even the bank manager only making $85 a month.
And you were making more than 50, 60?
Well, our company is a little different, exceptional. Because we doing, after coming here, I worked pretty hard, and I had an uncle work together, you know. Then we start from retail to chopper into wholesaler.
Mm-hmm.
So those days we did special or better than somebody else. So I was making, beginning 1925, I was making 22, 25 a month. Beside bonus,
you were making
$225 a month.
$225 a month.
Yeah, somebody else making $75, $85 a month.
You must have felt rich.
No, I feel rich, but I spend money easy.
How did you spend your money?
Oh, you know, when you live good, that's all. Good clothing, and eat good. Yeah.
Did you have to send money back to your father and mother in China?
Yeah, I had to.
About how much did you send back to them?
Oh, those days you send $200-$300 a year before then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When second time I went home China, I'm making a paper through immigration office. The chief inspector, Nardini,
mm-hmm.
he got a Nardini, the one help Wai Shi Hung up.
Mm-hmm.
You know Wai Shi Hung?
Mm-hmm.
Wai Shi Hung, you know, the hunchback.
Uh-huh.
Nardini, you know, so boy like that, so he want to help him out. See? So we know each other pretty well. When I went home, I examined by Nardini. He said, how much I make? I told him what I make, $225. He threw this piece away. He said, why you tell your uncle, give me a job? I'm chief inspector, the immigration officer. I was making $110. Yeah, those days.
Was everybody in your, involved in your market making that amount of money?
No. Just one, just all coming all along.
But everybody in your company was making about $225.
Oh no! My brother and uncle, they draw $300.
Oh, more.
They draw
$300. They were working in the same market.
Same company.
What was the name of the company?
Louis Produce.
Louis Produce.
They're still there yet, but they changed hands so much. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Now then, Louis Jr. owns everything now.
Uh-huh.
Then Louis Jr., he's, I think what he's, he's got something to do with the J magazine. What is he? He's a producer, something like that. He's Dan Louis Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Louis Jr. is working in the American society. A lot, he's beyond the line crop. He's very active in those, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But those days, most of the people, you work on the farm, you make $35, $40 a month. You know how to drive a horse wagon, and I mean to drive a horse. to cultivate the land, you get maybe $40-$45. Don't you only make $35-$40? Market salesman, $18, $20 a month.
A week. A week.
In the market, $18-$20 a week. But those days, with that more money, you can support the family with two children, you can pay the rent, house payment, your only car, you can do everything. You still got money left.
Where did you live when you first came to L.A.?
Around the market there, some place.
And is that where you live?
Yeah. But those days, everything is so cheap. You went to the grocery store, you spend $5, you get the whole car full. You know, you can spend $5, you can even see what you got.
That's right.
Yeah, the money is a lot different. And first I come in here, lucky people come on here, buy $200-$300 of merchandise, use all gold piece. No money bill. All gold piece. $200 gold piece, $10 gold piece, $5 gold piece.
You were saying people who came to you buy produce from
they
you?
They don't use more paper money. Paper don't money, don't use much. I say about 1924-25, beginning more use paper money. Then the gold piece less and less and less. But the people don't want to carry gold piece. Too heavy. Now you try and get some.
That's right.
I asked the other day down the town, how much for $200 gold piece? He said $375. I said, how about $10? He said $190.
That's too much. So when did you go back to China?
Oh, I made a lot of trips.
When was the first trip?
I made come back in 1922. I went home 1925.
Why did you go back in 1925?
1925, I went home and got married.
Uh-huh.
But they leave the wife there. I didn't bring them there. Yeah.
Was it an arranged kind of a marriage too, or you know, with your mother and father introducing
you to? I figure the mother already did something, so I don't want to refuse them, so.
So you got married in 1925 and you left your wife in China.
And I went home 1930. I went home 1936.
And going back in 30 and 36, was that to visit your family?
Yeah, visiting. 36. And after 36. I think in 1947.
I
mean, many trips. That's all my money going on the trip. Yeah.
So when did your wife come to the United States?
My wife, the one big home during the war. She, you know, passed away. Then I remarried her in 1947.
I see. Okay.
During the war time, they jump there, go around and get sick and go on.
How many children did you have?
I had two sons big in China.
Two sons in China.
Yeah. One is already here a lot about, ever since 1950. Two.
And the other one?
I don't know, still there yet.
He's still there.
He's
the one who graduated from Tsinghua.
So they don't let him out yet. They might let him out.
Where is he in Guangzhou?
In Guangzhou, yeah. Because he's in full scholarship. Everything in government expense, food, everything. But they might let him out.
What's he doing? Do you know?
He's not doing very much. After he graduated from Tsinghua, She working an import and export company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. for the communist common.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't join the Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he can get very high job.
Mm-hmm.
See, but I told him not to involve in the politics. But once he joined the Communist Party, he can like come out. So this way, he still got a chance to come in.
How did your other son come out in 1952?
Oh, he come in there just like
you. You know. Applied for him to come out
in
1952?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. He come out work in a restaurant, yeah. But I expect my first son will be here, maybe by next year anyway.
He's the older.
Yeah, he's older.
The one in China.
Yeah, he's 52 years old anyway.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But they treat my family. The company treat my family. I say pretty well, not very well, pretty well. He let my grandson go to university.
Your grandson?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He let my grandson go to university, and he let the younger grandson, and every 3 months, he get all kind of prize from school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they treat not too bad, but I don't say good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did your wife ever work?
The
wife here in the States.
Oh
that
yeah,
you married.
He's an accountant.
She's an accountant.
Accountant. Yeah.
With what company?
With the United Poultry.
United Poultry.
Poultry. Yeah.
Uh huh. How long has she been doing that?
Oh, she's an accountant lifetime. And she's been with the United Poultry. Almost about 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Is she Chinese too?
Chinese, yeah.
From which
born in Bakersfield.
Born in Bakersfield.
Born in Bakersfield.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you gave me your schools. I guess you went to
Ninth Street School.
Ninth Street School, and then a little bit to
Lafayette Junior High School.
Uh-huh.
Just below here.
Right, and then
don't learn too much.
Why did you stop going to school? Was it necessary to get a job?
Well, then no, I went home to get married, and after come back, I try continue school, but I have to support the family too, so we have to quit school.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the old people, yeah, they don't get much chance to go to school, like right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now used to be, people coming here. They are poor people.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's why they have to go look for work.
Mm-hmm.
See? But now people come here mostly but bring by the father, related, blood or something like that. So they get somebody behind them. They don't have to. They get more chance to go for education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then as far as where you lived in Los Angeles, can you give me the addresses or roughly where you lived in Los Angeles?
Well,
you started off near...
Before I married, I lived around the market.
Uh-huh.
Then I moved to Crenshaw area.
When was that?
Oh, I lived...
After 1925?
No, in 1946 I moved to Adam and Hoover. No, not Hoover. Harvard. H-A-R-V-I-D. Harvard. Then I moved to Crenshaw area in 1957. That was too low for my girl.
Mm-hmm.
She catch a cold, sneeze. It's a low over the climate. So I moved over here in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Over here, much drier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When my girl grown up, she married 1977.
Mm-hmm. You have one child from your second marriage?
One daughter, yeah.
One daughter.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She, after she finished USC, she went to teaching. But then now the teaching job now, you don't know how long it gonna, you know, last. So now she's with Continental Airlines.
What's she doing at Continental?
First, she's been there for a little over a year. She's been working on the computer. You know, but now, just about a couple of weeks ago, I think they put her in a different job.
Mm-hmm.
Something like a little promotion, something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah.
What did she study at USC?
Oh, she studied, you know, education, teaching.
Mm-hmm.
She likes teaching.
Mm-hmm.
She worked at Continental now. Now that she said she still likes all the kids. But only thing teaching, you don't know. I know some teachers, 8 years, 10 years, they still don't know what to do. So she figured she's working at Continental now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, as far as languages go, did you speak Chinese very much? I guess you spoke Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
At the produce company, you spoke Chinese all
the time, too? Oh, down the whole market there.
Samyap, say yap. You spoke
say
yap, right?
Say yap,
that's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Down the market, now mostly English. In the olden days, they use all kind of language.
All kinds of Chinese?
Not Chinese, Mexican, European. When the first I come in here, a lot of people come from Europe. They don't speak no English either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here in the States, did you and your wife speak Chinese at home?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. We speak Chinese.
And did you speak Chinese with your daughter?
Oh, yeah, she knows. She knows,
knows Chinese.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's the Queen City teaching what they call bilingual too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese. And
did you send your daughter to Chinese school?
No.
She started Chinese at home?
She started a little bit by herself. And in school too. She started a little bit by herself. Then she picked up a little bit, you know, from to like it in the family, like that, yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you feel it was important for your children to know Chinese, your daughter to know Chinese?
Yeah, I like her to know, yeah. But no, not my chance to learn, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you study any more Chinese yourself after you left China?
No, no. After we left China, we have to work. That's why all old people here come here just to work and make money for a living.
Mm-hmm.
No chance for that. Not like now, all the younger people go college. No.
Uh-huh.
My nephew now, my youngest nephew over here, he's a judge.
Your nephew?
Yeah, he's Elwood Louis. My youngest nephew here, he's a judge, municipal judge.
Municipal judge.
Ever since, I think 1975. Why? He went to UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
He got his scholarship, but he couldn't get him because he said his father owned too much property. Mm-hmm. He went to UCLA, asked him what he could take. He was an engineer. I said, no, I said, too much engineer. I said, how about 2 and 2? He said, I'm pretty good. I said, you take CBA. So he finished CPA in UCLA. Right away, he teaching to San Fernando State College. Same time, he worked for big CPA office. So he was pretty good kid.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm good in the investment thing. But any time Green, I need something about the law and being a business. I need some commercial law. So he went to night school, study commercial law. After he finished commercial law, he told his wife, you take your family, I will continue with law because I'm still young. So he continued. So he finished law school. Then he come out, he opened the law office.
Let's stop right here for a second.